So today we are given a gift by Jesus in the form of a parable. In our little Sunday school classes, our teachers usually get a golden box to represent the parable. And amidst all the children, they sit in a circle and they open the golden box and get to pull out what's inside. Parables are like gifts from Jesus. And Christians through the centuries have thought of them as so deep and so rich in meaning that the ancient monks, the desert fathers, would go into a cave with one parable and they would meditate on its meaning for an entire year. An entire year about one of these parables. And at the end of the year, people would say to the Holy Father, "Tell us about the parable. Did you figure it out?" And the Holy Father would say, "I could not plumb the depths of its meaning." In other words, it was so deep and so rich that it took me a year and I still couldn't get to the bottom of it. It was so rich. So this parable that we hear today is one that many of you, I'm sure, who come regularly to church have heard before. The parable of the sower, we call it, or the parable of the seeds. And it's a parable about a sower who is just throwing seeds all around. As God gives us his grace and his word, all around, all over the place. But the parable is really, for me, not about the seeds or the sower. What the parable is really about is dirt. The parable is really about the difference in kinds of soil. And Jesus is likening us to the soil. Some soil is shallow, and there just isn't any room for the roots to grow, so the plant grows up quickly, but then the sun shines and it withers. Other soil is full of rocks, so there isn't a lot of richness to it, and the roots bump into the rocks. There's no room for growth. Other kinds of soil have thorns which grow up and choke the plant as it's trying to grow. But there also is rich and good soil. And when the seed falls on the rich and good soil, the roots spread out and become strong, and the plant grows and grows and grows and bears fruit. And you know fruit, it spreads more seed, doesn't it? So let's think for a minute about really good dirt. Do we have really good dirt on St. Bart? Is it very fertile? No. If we wanted to make it fertile, we would probably make compost, right? Does any of you have compost piles at home? I used to have one. I tried it in Florida. Lots of bugs. You have to put it far away from your house. But in order to make good dirt, what you basically do is you get a lot of natural trash. You know, banana peels and eggshells and coffee grinds and apple cores. And you get all this trash, this refuse, and you let it biodegrade. And you let it fall apart, and it becomes this big mess. But this big mess is really fertile soil. So what I want you to think about is the fact that in your life, all the really hard stuff, all the really difficult stuff that has had to die in you, the times where you've had to struggle and grow, the most difficult of ordeals, are really the stuff that can make you into good soil. That God is basically saying to you, ironically, that the harder your life is, the more difficult things are, the more potential you have to become rich and fertile ground for God's word. Now, this is very counterintuitive because most of us, we believe that if we pray to God and if we're faithful, our life will be easy and smooth. Now, where we get this, I'm not sure, because was Jesus' life easy and smooth? Not at all. But we still have this sort of, I call it gospel of prosperity, where we think that if we pray to God, everything will be great and our life will be comfortable and fun and we won't have any hardship and it'll be good, right? And we always ask God, please make this good or that good, help this to go well, help me do well on a test, etc., etc. And I believe that God wants what is best for us. But the truth is that this life that we lead is full of difficulty, like the waves that come up on the shore. We never know what is coming next in our own lives. And sometimes it's great joy, but other times what comes at us is hardship and struggle. And none of us is exempt from pain. But the question is, what will you do with that pain? When something goes wrong in your life, how do you choose to respond? Do you run away? Do you feel sorry for yourself? Or do you dig down deep, let it decompose inside you, and make you rich soil for God? In 1914, a little boy was born in the faraway state of Washington State in the United States of America. And this little boy was born into a beautiful family, a mother, a father. He had an older brother. But when he was only 4 years old, he had a memory of his mother being out on the field. They were farmers, tilling the soil with him. And she started coughing and blood came up into her handkerchief. The next thing he knew, little Joe, who was four, had to go to a service where his mother was lying in a box and she wouldn't get up. And his older brother was about to go to college and explained to him how sorry he was, but he couldn't take little Joe with him. And his father was so distraught that his father just left for Canada. So this little boy at 4 years old found himself on a train all by himself, being tended to by a steward, going halfway across the United States to live with an aunt he had never met. When he got to his aunt's house, he got scarlet fever. So he had to stay in an attic room all by himself as a little boy under quarantine. And he was so lonely. He got better, though, and began to make a home with his aunt and her husband. But 6 months later, his big brother decided he could take him. So he had to take the train all the way back. And a year later, his father remarried, and he moved back in with his father and his father's new wife. But his father's new wife didn't like him very much. He reminded her of his father's first wife, who had died. So by the time Joe was 10, he had two little half-brothers, but his stepmother decided that he needed to no longer live with them. So he had to move into a schoolhouse and sleep in a little room and serve food at 10 years old. He worked this way for years. At 15, the Great Depression hit, so his father and mother moved into a house in the country where they started to rebuild an old home. And his father decided he could use Joe's help, so Joe got to move back in with the family. And for a few years, he helped rebuild this home. But they couldn't make any money, and everything was so, so scary. One day, his father and stepmother and two little brothers were getting into the car, and Joe ran up and said, "Where are you going?" And they said, "We have to leave. We're going to go to Seattle and see if we can find some money." And Joe said, "Let me get my things." And they said, "No, you're not coming with us." He was 16 years old, left in a half-built house in the middle of the countryside in the Depression. Joe later would say that at 16, as he watched their car driving out, he went up into his bedroom and he lay down. It started to rain. And he thought to himself, "I don't want to be alive anymore. Nobody wants me. Everyone keeps kicking me out. I have no family. I have no home." And then from somewhere deep inside, he felt this strength. And he got up and he made himself some coffee and he decided that he wasn't going to let this define him. That he was going to make something of his life. And at 16, he began doing manual labor, hard labor. He made enough money eventually to get himself into college at the University of Washington, where he started to row crew. And because he was so tough and so strong, Joe Rantz became one of the crew members that won the Olympics in Berlin. Why? Because he took all of that abandonment and all of that hardship that he had to endure, and he boiled it down deep inside of him, and he decided to use it to make himself stronger, to make himself a man of character. He could have fallen apart and felt sorry for himself. He could have starved and died, but instead he decided that he was going to become rich soil. The kind of man who didn't even know what pain was. He was that strong. So I want you to think back on your life. What are some of the things that you've gone through that you wish you could forget? What are the times where you felt like God really wasn't around, or a sense of hopelessness? Most of us, we try to brush these things aside, we try to forget. But I think Jesus is telling us today to use all of that. That's where God can make the most difference, is in the hard stuff. That, my friends, is what makes you good soil.